Good morning and welcome to York Christian Fellowship Online. And if you're a guest and it's your first time joining with us this morning, welcome and thank you. For those of you that would like to give into our ministry here, there are several different ways to give. You'll see them online on the screen right now. You can text to give, you can use our phone app, and you can go to our website at www.ycf.com. And on that note, thank you once again and enjoy the message.
Good morning, everybody. Today, I'd like to talk about this concept called the crowds, the crowd, okay? And crowds are kind of interesting to me because whenever you look at Jesus's life, he had crowds of people around him, didn't he, right? And the funny thing about Jesus is he was trying to not have that happen, but it actually happened, and they'd be crowds of hundreds and even thousands of people that would just gather around to hear this man, Jesus. So today, what I want to do is I want to talk about three observations as you look at Jesus in these crowds. And I'm telling you, this is just going to change your life. So here's number one. If you're taking notes, write this down. The first thing you have to know about Jesus is he loved crowds. He loved crowds. And now what I want you to do is think about the most captivating speaker you know, or you listen to, this compelling communicator, and just think about when you're in their presence, how they just like have you holding your breath and eating out of your hands. There's just something about them, right? Now, what I want you to do is compare them to Jesus. And how many of you would agree that they can't hold a lick to Jesus? Jesus, I'm telling you guys, he was like the master storyteller, wasn't he? He was just so able to be creative and tell a parable. And when he told the parable, all of a sudden he's showing you things and telling you things that you never saw before. He was just amazing. And really, to me, there was nobody like him that could hold a crowd's attention. And nobody could take you from point A and point B like Jesus, because Jesus loved the crowd. All right. Now, to be honest, there are a lot of people who stand in front of crowds, big crowds, and maybe their motives for doing it aren't too good. Like their motive, maybe it's just kind of hard. You just fall into this pride thing, all right? But how many of you agree? Jesus had pure motives, right? He had pure motives when he was in the crowds. And he wasn't like, it wasn't like he was standing in front of a crowd of 100 people and he's got his camera out. He's trying to get an angle, take a picture so it looks like 500 people are there, and then he's going to post it on his Facebook and Instagram account so he can get all these likes. No way. Jesus loved the crowd, and he was just in love with people, so he loved the crowd. So this is what I've noticed about Jesus. With the crowds, he had this amazing way to draw people, in the crowd, people that were nothing like him, people that didn't talk like him or look like him, right? And maybe you've got some favorite band that you follow or musicians, okay? And they can reach people, but they're usually reaching people like them, right? But here we have Jesus, and he had this wide range of people that would come and be in these crowds, and they were the richest of the richest that were in the crowd. They were the poorest of the poor that were in the crowd. They were the up and outers and the down and outers that were all in this crowd. There were people in the crowds to see Jesus that were squeaky perfect in their character, and then we had the prostitutes and the tax collectors and some kind of shady people that would all associate with Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus was called a friend of sinners, and I'm pretty sure half the people didn't mean that as a compliment, okay? But think about Jesus. He just kind of had this knack that he could reach everybody right where they're at. He was able to just grab all of them, and they were all represented in the crowd. Now, I'm going to take you along a little rabbit trail. Think about heaven. Heaven, in case you didn't know, is a crowded place, right? It is not an us four no more. There's no social distancing going on up there. Heaven is a crowded place, and because heaven is a crowded, packed place, I believe that God wants the church to be a packed place. And open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 14, verse 23. Luke chapter 14, verse 23. And what I want you to see is that God made heaven to be a packed house, and he also would like to see the church a packed house. So y'all, at Luke chapter 14, verse 23, it goes like this. Then the master told his servant, and this represents God in this story, okay? Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full, so that my house will be full. So in other words, God wants a full house, right? So we have to be able to see and understand that heaven is a crowded place and Jesus loved the crowd. So that's point number one that we see with Jesus in the crowds. Here's point number two. If you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus sees you in the crowd. Jesus sees you in the crowd. All right? Now, Jesus isn't in the crowd just so he can boost his social media. No, no, no. Jesus sees you in the crowd. Jesus sees people. Jesus sees you. And he's not just looking at a pack. That's just how Jesus is. And you know, guys, when you look at the life and the ministry of Jesus, it would often say this. When he saw the people or saw the crowd, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. So why? Well, listen, anytime he saw people who were hurting and broken, he wanted to help them and give them hope, okay? So Jesus sees you in the crowd. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's easy to think, man, God, you're so big and you're so busy, you can't possibly see me. Or God, you know, you made the heavens and the earth, and I'm sure you don't even know my name anymore. You can just get your head out like that. But guys, listen to this. Jesus says, you are the apple of his eye. I'm the apple of his eye. That's pretty good. Jesus sees me. And his thoughts, it says, can't even be measured on how much he sees you and loves you. So I love that. But you know, there was a time in my life I didn't get that. And it was years ago, Jack and I were out at Bible school. And if we weren't in Bible school, we were going to this church and we were serving in this church. We just loved it. And actually, this happened on a Wednesday night service. And there was about 400 people there. That's a crowd to me, right? And we're in wrapping up the service, and the pastor calls some people out, and he calls me out of the crowd, and he says, the Lord wants you to know that I've been after you like a dog to the bone. I still crack up on that one. And he says, I want you to know that I have gifted you and called you to be in my service. Now, right now, I'm like, woohoo, that's great. But at that time, what you didn't know about me was that I grew up in this house, one of six kids, and you know, when you got that many kids, I didn't have a lot of special time, you know, special time with my mom or a dad. And you know, I also remember, I don't ever remember them saying I love you or hugging. That just wasn't the kind of people they were. And to top that all off, I wasn't one of those honor students, all right? And I wasn't the best in sports. I wasn't the best in anything that they were giving blue ribbons and trophies out. And because of all of that, I had a lot of insecurities going on. I had a lot of just identity issues going on. And that day in that service, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, God, you know, you're calling this person and you probably don't even know me. You probably don't even see me. Like, you see this person because they're doing this and that, and you see that person. And that night, just moments later, the pastor says, hey, you over there, stand up. The Lord wants you to know that I have been after you like a dog to the bone, and I have called you and gifted you for my service. And I want to tell you guys, I was like splat on the floor, all right? So maybe you're here listening today and you're thinking, God doesn't see me. God doesn't see me in the crowd. Well, listen, I want you to know that Jesus sees you in the crowd. How about we just all just close your eyes and just say, thank you, Jesus. You see me. Thank you, Jesus, you see me. I'm telling you, that excites me. Jesus sees me in the crowd. Jesus sees me. And, you know, that reminds me of a story in the Bible. It's the woman with the issue of blood. Now, I don't know what your issue is today, but I just want to tell you, God is big enough for any issue you got going on in your life, all right? Jesus is the solution. He is the answer for your issues. So open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. And actually, this story is found in Luke and in Matthew and in Mark, but we're going to be reading out of Luke chapter 8, verses 43. We'll probably start around there. So just to catch you up to speed, this story is about a woman with the issue of the blood, and she was struggling with this issue. She couldn't stop bleeding, and in case you didn't know, medicine wasn't that good back then. So the Bible says she had spent all her money. She had spent every cent that she had just trying to find a cure, and she was at the end of her ropes. She had nowhere else to turn. And just a side note, guys, those are the best times to find Jesus. As a matter of fact, I think about that. Sometimes those are the only moments that we find Jesus. Like, we have exhausted everything that we know, our resources. We've tried everything, and all of a sudden, like, lights go off, and we realize, oh my gosh, the only thing I have left is Jesus. By the way, Jesus is my solution. So that was sort of what was going on. And when you read the story, it actually says that Jesus was almost crushed in the crowd. He was crushed in the crowd. And to give you an idea of how big and kind of the frenzy that was going on in the crowd, what was is that the word about Jesus on the street was spreading like wildfire, that he was the healer, like he had raised somebody from the dead and that blind eyes were open and all of this. So you can imagine that there were tons of people that needed to be healed, and they were all trying to get to Jesus. They were all trying to get to him, and they were all pressing in on him. It was like worse than Times Square, New Year's Eve, Times Square, worse than that. And the Bible says that this woman pressed through the crowd in her desperation, and she didn't even touch his arm. The Bible says that she touched the hem of his garment. Today we would say she touched the hem of his skinny jeans, right? And in that moment, she was healed of this condition that she had for 12 years, right? So we're going to pick up our story in Luke chapter 8, verse 45. Luke chapter 8, verse 45. Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And you can just imagine, like, him saying real loud, "Who touched me?" And the whole crowd gets into a hush, and she's not saying anything. Nobody's stepping forward. And, of course, we have Peter, because it goes on to say, Peter said, "But, Master, we've got crowds of people on your hands. Dozens have touched you." But listen to this next verse. Jesus insisted, "No, no, no, someone has touched me." And guys, I love that, because that tells me that God sees the one, that Jesus sees you wherever you are in a crowd. And you might be listening here today, and you're like, gosh, you know, I'm hurting because of this in my life. I got all these things going on. And I just want to encourage you, God sees you in the crowd. God sees your hurt, and he sees you, and he wants something better for you. He does. He does. And maybe you're here, and you've never had one person just give you some affirmation words, or anybody ever validate you. God wants you to know that God wants to be a father to the fatherless, and he sees you. And the Bible says that God left the 99 for the one. Guys, God sees you. And right now, just say, "Jesus, you see me." I mean, say it like you mean it. "Jesus, you see me." I'm telling you, I feel good. You should feel good when you say that. So the first thing that we saw about Jesus in the crowd is, one, that Jesus loved the crowd. And two, Jesus saw you in the crowd. And here's the third one we're going to spend the most amount of time on. It's number three. If you're writing, taking notes, write this down. Jesus calls you out of the crowd. Jesus calls you out of the crowd. Now, when you read the Gospels, Jesus would often say these three words, just these three words. He would say, "Come, follow me," right? And there were people from all walks of life hurting in all sorts of things, and everyone would answer, rather, when he called and said, "Come, follow me." So let's talk about crowds for a minute, okay? Crowds can do some crazy funny things. Like, if you've ever been to this super big sporting event, like down to see the Ravens or something like that, have you ever noticed how ridiculous the crowds can get, right? And they're doing some things they'd never do if they were sitting home in front of their TV, all right? So crowds can get complicated and they can get crazy and do things. I think about that. I didn't wake up this morning and think, well, I'm just going to do the wave, right? Because that's what they do in the crowds, okay? You don't think that. Crowds can just do crazy things. It doesn't mean that we do some things that we ever planned on doing, and all of a sudden we found out we're doing it, and we end up by doing things, going places we didn't plan to because we're in the crowd. Okay, but on the flip side, crowds can be good. I'm telling you guys, crowds can be good, such as if you're planted in a church, then you got a crowd of people that are for you, and that's good. Or if you go to a grow group or a connect group, whatever you call it, it's a good thing to do life with people. It's good to be in a crowd, right? Okay, but, I always love when I put a but there, but the challenge with the crowd, there's a challenge with the crowd, ready? If we base our relationship with God in following Jesus with the crowd, okay, when the crowd is there, then we follow Jesus, but what happens when the crowd is not there and then we don't? Take, for instance, Peter. I love Peter. Peter, in one moment, he's following Jesus like, I'm defending Jesus. I'm fighting for Jesus, right? And then he finds himself in another crowd, right? He finds himself in another crowd that's not for Jesus. And the next thing you know, he denies Jesus. Or how about this? How about summer camp kids, right? They're especially if you send them to a Christian camp, one moment they are on top of the mountain and having experience, they've got Holy Ghost goosebumps going on, and they give everything away to Jesus, right? And then that goes away when they get back to school, okay? So it is a challenge we have to fight. It really is a fight, the crowd, okay? And listen, guys, I just want to tell you, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you're human, and we need to know how to navigate through the crowds. So before we had this COVID-19, right, and we would all go to church, right, because everybody's doing it, and we would go to church because it's the right thing to do, okay? And depending on how traditional your church is, you might be like that waiting group. One person stands up, everybody stands up. Then everybody sits down, then everybody stands up. Okay, and when everybody sings, everybody sings, and when everybody prays, okay, but then you can walk out of church, the crowd, let's say, and it's like a religious duty, check, check, right, and there's been no personal connection with Jesus, and oftentimes what happens is we live our life out of the emotion, right, we live out of the feelings of the moment, okay. Now, here at YCF, I love it. I ought to. I'm Pastor D. But I love that we've got fans here at YCF, fans of this church, better yet, fans of Jesus. I think that's incredible. I love that. And I love that when you leave church, you're like encouraged and it was great. And you're like, man, that was just like a breath of fresh air. That's just what I needed to hear. Sign me up. Too bad it didn't last long, right? Okay. I love that. Okay. And so we love to have fans, right? Okay. And we love to have people that have relationships here. We love that they build relationships with people here and have a community here. That is awesome. Okay. But you know what we are more passionate about? Bringing you from a fan to a friend to a follower, okay? From a fan of Jesus, a friend of Jesus, to a follower of Jesus. And let me tell you something, followers don't live by their feelings. Okay, how many of you got somebody in your life or you know somebody in your life that when they have these emotions that are up to the top, it's really cool, right? That when they're high in their emotions, it's really good. But think about this. Emotions, and you can write this down. Emotions will only keep you in motion for so long, right? Emotions will only keep you in motion so long. It's like, like that person that's just, you know, they're just high and just incredibly excited, okay? But then life comes, and let me tell you, life comes, and then they're like, I don't know what to do. I don't have this emotion, this feeling, okay? And here's what's even scarier about that. Emotions will have you going through the motion. Right? Okay, and I have to be honest, I've been through some moments where I was just showing up, right? I was just doing what I was supposed to be doing, okay? And the problem is I start missing out connecting with Jesus, right? I'm missing out on that personal time, okay? And the same Jesus that saw me in the crowd, the same Jesus that's calling me out, then I fell back into just the motion, okay? And I miss out on Jesus. And guys, we don't want to do that. It is not fulfilling at all right? So here at YCF, man, we love fans, but you know what? We want to make disciples. We want to make disciples. And disciples do not live out of their emotions, their feelings, okay? Actually, disciples live out of a devotion to Jesus, right? Now, so we've got to get to a place where we start saying, hey, I'm not going to live my life on how I feel. I'm not going to live my life on what people think about me or what people say about me. Because if I do that, I will never follow Jesus who's calling me out of the crowd. And he's saying, come follow me, right? So, guys, when you look at the life of Jesus and things that he would say or the messages that he would preach, oftentimes he would have these hard sayings, right? It's not that coffee mug that's got the Jesus slogan on or your t-shirt. No, he would, and they're all true, but a lot of times he would say some hard things, and he was intentionally doing it. He was intentionally saying those things, trying to thin out the crowd. And here's one of them, and you'll probably remember this. Ready? Jesus said, anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, did he say you're not to love your mother or your father? No way. He didn't say that. But he says, don't love them more than Jesus, right? Jesus, and listen, I've met some people in life where they started on their journey with Jesus and they loved him with all their heart, and then they ran into some people, whether it was parents or a spouse, and they say to them, hey, I don't want to hear you talk about Jesus, or you're out, or you can't live in my home. I've had people tell me that story, okay? But we have to get to the place where we follow Jesus. You know, like the song, I've decided to follow Jesus. Well, we have to get to that place where we go, I have decided to follow Jesus, right? And I'm going to love him and follow him more than anything else, all right? So listen to this one. Listen to this. After Jesus had just spoken to like the largest crowd, like 5,000 people, which really in reality, if you count all the women and children, was probably double at like 10 or 15,000 people were there. He says some pretty intense things to the crowd. Listen to what he says. He says, I want you to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Okay? Now, you and I'd probably say, you know, hey, Jesus, you know, I'm cool with you until now with this sort of cannibalism thing going on. And right now, I'm just not sure if I can follow you, right? And now, of course, what he was talking about them there, they didn't understand. He was talking about communion, but they didn't get that at that point. But right after he said that, in John 6:6, he says, many disciples turned back and no longer followed him at that moment. Many disciples turned back and no longer followed him in that moment. Now, here's another one. Ready? Jesus is in the crowd and he meets this rich young ruler, okay? And he had everything that society and culture would have, right? He just had everything. And Jesus looks him in the eye and he says, hey, if you want to be my disciple, you have to give away everything you have and come follow me. Now, just a side note, Jesus encountered a lot of rich people, guys. Okay, that wasn't his only one. And he never said that to any of them. But here's this rich young ruler, and Jesus knew that he might have had money, but money had him. Money had him. And Jesus will constantly point out the things in your heart that occupy more space than Jesus. I know. He's constantly going to challenge you, and he's going to call you out of the crowd, okay? And I'm telling you guys, that's his plan for all of us. He wants to call us out of the crowd to something better, right? And here's the thing we got, the bubble we need to pop. Ready? Does the crowd validate your decision to follow Jesus and to do the things that are right? Does the crowd validate you to follow Jesus and do the things that are right? Like, guys, how many of you know we've got crowds that are doing the wrong things, right? We've seen that. We've seen it on TV. We've hopefully you've not been a part of that, okay? And let me put it this way. Just because it's trendy doesn't mean it's truth, guys. Just because it's trendy doesn't mean it's truth. And Jesus wants us to say he has the final decision or the final say-so in our life, right? Amen. I know that. So here's a good scripture. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 7:13. This is Jesus, and he says, "Go in through the narrow door, the door that's wide, and the road that's easy leads to hell. Many people, crowds, are going through that door, but the door that is narrow and the road that is hard leads to a life that lasts forever. Few people are finding it," okay? Now, I have watched a lot of people take that first step and say, "Jesus, I'm following you. Jesus, I give you my life." Okay, and that's incredible, and I love that. I want to see more of that. But you know what's more incredible than that? It's not how you start, guys. It's how you finish, right? It's how you finish, okay? And and I believe Jesus wants to have the church, people finishing their journey with Jesus, okay? Now, because someday you are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And he's going to say to you, "Hey, what did you do with eternity? What did you do with your life? Did you serve eternity or did you serve the here and now?" And what I want to have you do is stand before the Lord Jesus and say, "Jesus, I lived for you. I came and followed you. I gave you my whole life," all right? Now, let me tell you about this. He's not looking for people, perfect people. Perfect people, he's not looking for that. He's looking for faithful people. Faithful people finish, right? Faithful people, by the way, faithful people make mistakes. Raise your hand, right? Faithful people make mistakes. We fall down. But you know what? What's so cool is faithful people get up again. And the Bible says that the righteous person may fall down 7 times, but he gets up. All right, and that's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for everybody, that you would just finish your race. Amen? So let me ask you this question. Do you ever have a moment in your life where you stand out in the crowd? Right? Or do you ever have moments where you feel resistance from the culture that's around you? Do you ever have moments where you look different than the crowd, where you live different than the world around you? Guys, because if you don't, just maybe you haven't answered the call fully. Right? And listen, that doesn't mean you're obnoxious and just rude and hard to get along with, okay? It means that you're going to follow a counterculture God. And his name was Jesus, and he turned the world upside down, right? And then you're going to look different than the world around you. You will look different than the world around you. And think about this, guys. Jesus started his ministry in a crowd, but he ended up on a cross alone. Think about it. When he started his ministry, there were crowds following him, right? And over time, as he got closer and closer to the cross, the crowds got smaller and smaller. They did, okay? So here's the question we should be asking. You ready? How do I know if I'm a disciple? Right? That's a good question. How do I know if I'm a disciple? Okay? Well, Jesus says it this way. Turn over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Jesus is speaking to a large crowd, and this is what he said. Then he said, Luke 9, 23. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you want to be my follower, disciple, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Follow me, okay? Now, how do you know if you're a disciple? Well, that's when you say, Jesus, I transfer my ownership to you, right? Jesus, you can drive my life. You can be the driver's seat, okay? Now, it's not about being in perfection. Oh, gosh, heck no, all right? None of us would make it. But it's about saying, Jesus, you know, come. I surrender my life. I'll let you lead my life, all right? Now, if your life belongs to me, and me is making all the decisions on my life, and me is calling all the shots in my life, well, then you haven't maybe fully answered the call to come follow me. So here's a quote. It's by this gentleman called Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he lived 50, 60 years ago, and just a really sweet Christian man, but he was martyred for his faith. And he wrote this. He said, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. In other words, we could say it this way. Salvation is the moment where Jesus gives you life, all right? But discipleship is the moment where you give your life back to Jesus. That's discipleship. That's where you're saying, God, I am willing to give you my life no matter where you lead me. God, I'm going to pick up my cross, pick up every day, and I'm going to follow you. So I have two questions to ask you. Ready? And we're all in different places in our life, but here's question number one. Are you ready to answer the call as Jesus calls you out of the crowd? Are you ready to answer that, right? And here's the second one. Well, what's your next step, all right? Now, for some of you, your next step, you know, it's pretty simple. Your next step is salvation. And that's simply saying, Jesus, I am going to trust you with my life. In a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. And some of you, your next step may be, I'm going to get water baptized because God's dealing with my heart. I need to be water baptized. And it says in his word, I need to do that. So that might be your next step. Or maybe your next step, or maybe you're the one that you are hopping from church to church to church. And every time you get something, you get to a church, something pops up and you get these hurt feelings, okay? And you haven't put your roots down and grown because you're not in a church. And by the way, I think it's Psalm 92 that says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord, they'll flourish. And also, Hebrews 10 says that you are not to forsake gathering together. So you need people to build into your life, right? You need people that are going to be honest with you and encouraging with you. You need people to be with you. Hey, you need people that know your name, and when you're not there, they're going to come after you because you need people in your life. So maybe that's your next step. And for some of you, maybe God's calling you out of that crowd that's in your school or the guys that you hang out with because they're good people, they're nice, but they're not Jesus people. And you've connected with them in ways that kind of unhealthy, and you've gone to places, you know, that just you're kind of ashamed of, okay? And all God is asking you is come follow me. Come follow me. Come out of the crowd. Follow me. I guarantee I have something better. So, guys, I don't know what God's calling you out of, okay? You're all different, but I can tell you what he's calling you into. He's calling you into a life that's better than the one you're living right now. He's calling you out to something better, all right? So I want to close right now, and I want to ask, or better yet, I want to invite everybody to take their next step. All right, take your next step. So just bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm just going to pray over you, okay? And maybe for some of you, this is the best news. Jesus sees you. Like he sees you with all your insecurities and inferiorities and just identity issues. And he's saying, hey, come follow me. I will give you a new identity, one with me, and you'll know who you are, all right? Or maybe you've been far away from God. You've just just, you know, there was a season where you were maybe younger and you were serving him, and then you just kind of veered and you just got off. And Jesus is saying, hey, come on back. Come follow me. I've got something better, all right? Or maybe you've never heard this before, and this is where I would like to have you pray a simple prayer. Pray a simple prayer. Jesus said, the road is hard and the gate is narrow. But he also said, I am the gate, I am the door. And he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Okay, guys, that is the simple gospel message. And Jesus made it so easy. He said, if you would just say with your mouth, believe in your heart and say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'd be saved, okay? It's just a beautiful promise, and if you say this, I'll tell you what, you will have confidence that someday heaven is your forever home, all right? But here's something even way cooler. Ready? Jesus wants to bring heaven on earth for your here and now, right? He wants to help you through every situation you've got going on. And listen, he didn't promise that you'd have a life with no problems going on and no ups and downs, but he did promise I would walk with you. And so therefore, you could have some hope. So I'd like to pray with you. Just pray this from your heart, and I tell you, there'll be a change that happens in the inside. So if you'd repeat this after me, everybody say, Lord God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he sees me. I thank you that he has a plan for my life, that he has a purpose for my life. And today, I choose to follow Jesus. Today, I give you my heart, Jesus. Today, I give you my life. And today, I call you Lord, and I call you my Savior. And if you've said that, you are now a child of God. You're a Christian, and life is good to follow with Jesus. So thank you for joining us. Remember, God is for you. Have a wonderful week.